Brilliance Audio. The Ice Ghost by Kathleen O'Neill Gear. Performed by Sean Taylor Corbett and Cece Aisha Johnson. Dedication. To W. Michael Gear. Thank you for the magic you've brought to my life, Mike.
1. Lynx. 923 summers after the Zyme. Mother Ocean is high again tonight, with an icy flush of wind. I crouch in the doorway of our dome-shaped lodge and tie back the flap. Constructed of upright mammoth rib bones covered with bison hides, the lodge is around 30 hand lengths across. A fire burns in the middle of the floor. On the other side of the fire, Elder Araki lies beneath the mound of musk oxen hides with Zeno, the wolf, beside him. The wolf watches me with half-lidded eyes. Araki hasn't moved since midday. He may still be alive. I don't know. Every morning I wake expecting to find that he has died and left to travel the road of light that paints a swath across the night sky. Araki calls it the Milky Way Galaxy. My people believe it is the road that all souls must travel to reach the afterlife in the sky. Quietly, I sit down in the doorway to watch evening settle over the beach. It's one of those unearthly beautiful nights. Mastodons trumpeting high up in the mountains. Monstrous icebergs gliding ghost-like through the pale green Zyme light. So beautiful it seems not to be of this world. I have escaped to this barren seashore with a few books, a strange wolf, and a dying old man. Though Elder Araki says I'm a fool to think this is an escape, he says I'm lost and running from myself. Very well, then, if you wish to put it that way. I have run here in the hopes of finding myself. For a few blessed moments, I appreciate the endless, luminous hills of Zyme that ride the waves as they roll toward shore. In places, the hills of bioluminescent algae have grown so enormous, they've toppled over one another and resemble hunched monsters 5 times the height of a man. Their green glow intensifies with the darkness, and the air fills with a pungent scent. My people, the sea lion people, have many stories about the world before the Zyme covered the oceans. It was a time of warmth when the world was filled with flowering trees and long-gone animals like coyotes and cimric cats. Our elders repeat the stories over and over around winter campfires to teach the children about the beginning time before our creators, the blessed Gemin, sailed to the campfires of the dead in ships made of meteorites. After the Zyme, the ice giants were born. My people believe, as I once did, that they are alive and have voices that speak to our greatest shamans. Because of Araki's lessons, I know they are monstrous glaciers that are still creeping across the world, gobbling up the land that living creatures need to survive. Today, the rumbling giants rise so high they seem to touch fingertips with Sister Moon. Their jagged blue peaks are cracked and broken, veined with black crevices that drop down to the center of the earth where rivers of fire flow. When I gaze to the north and east, all I see is mountains of ice. A few small pine groves dot the slopes, and here and there lines of black boulders slither up the mountainsides. Otherwise, it's just a vista of broken blue ice. To the west, the green blanket of Zyme rises and falls upon the waves. It's only closest to the shore, where cliffs of ice meet the ocean, that a thin strip of freezing water remains free of Zyme. Zeno rises and flops down again in the firelit lodge behind me. He seems to be anxiously awaiting Araki's departure from this life. The wolf is so human, I sometimes think he is one of our legends made flesh. One of the Gemin who learned to change into an animal and could never change back. In his sleep, Araki often reaches out for the wolf and softly calls,
George.
Then his voice trails away with the words,
I know it's been hard.
I ponder whether that is the wolf's ancient human name, or if Araki calls out for a long-dead loved one. An agonizing moan escapes his lips, and I turn to look at my dying teacher. I shouldn't have brought Araki.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?